ध्यायामोदवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धाभाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are learning the 27th shloka of Saundarya Lahari. This is a very important shloka. So if we go through the Tamil book from Ramakrishna Mission Chennai, written by like Urayashir Anna, so you can find the 27th shloka mentioned at the starting of the book itself. It's a kind of dhyana shloka, compared like a dhyana shloka. And when we learn the meaning of this shloka, we will find as to that even Amma or Amma's words resonate the view that Shankara is giving in this shloka, though Amma doesn't mention it openly, but her view is the same as what Shankara gives here. Yeah, so whatever Amma says as to the way to pray to Ishvara, that is a reflection of what Shankara is saying here. So it is also the same as what Shankara says in Shiva Manasa Puja, Atma Tvam Girija Mati Sahacharaha Prana Shariram. So all those, and then Karacharana Kritam Va Kayajam Karmajam Va. So all those, like this shloka has a very similar meaning to that. And whenever Amma speaks about Dhyanam, so she says that we have to pray to Ishvara, we have to pray to Devi, we have to pray to Goddess, that O Goddess, whatever my words, let my words become your prayer. And then let whatever I sing become your bhajan. Let whatever I eat become ahuti. Ahuti, your offering to the Homakunda. So let that become that way. And wherever I walk, let it become your pradakshinam. Wherever I lie down, let that become your namaskaram. Let that become namaskaram for you. So whatever activities I am doing, O Mother, O Divine Mother, let you be part of all those activities. So it is resonation, or like Amma, whatever Amma says there, that is what Shankara explains here. So it's a very important shloka. So it can be said to be kind of summarizing of how a devotee would behave in the world. So the famous poet Ezhuthachan, the famous Malayalam poet, in his work called Harinama Kirtanam, which is a work praising Hari or Vishnu, but still it's a work which speaks about Brahman. It's a work which speaks about Vedanta with respect to Vishnu and with respect to Vishnu's glories. So there he says, Yadunna Kangilad Narayana Pratima. Whatever I see is Narayana's Pratima, idol of Narayana. Yadannu Kelkiladu Narayana Shrutigal. Whatever I hear is Narayana's Shruti, or praise of Narayana. Yadannu Cheyikiladu Narayana Archanagal. Whatever I do is Archana for Narayana. Yadannu Ragiladu Narayanayanama. Whatever is there, everything is one with Narayana. So that's how he interprets it there. But Shankara here gives a holistic approach, like Amma. Whatever Amma says, exactly the same thing Shankara is explaining here. So this shloka means, this shloka speaks about a bhakta who has completely surrendered to Ishvara. So what is surrender? We may say that I have surrendered to Amma, but still I have problems in life. You may say, I have devotion. My parents are devoted, my brother is devoted, my family is devoted, everybody sings bhajan, my mother sings bhajan very well, she is devoted, we may say. But are those real devotion? For that, in order for us to understand what is real devotion, Shankara is explaining here. And if we speak about our devotion or whatever we call as devotion to be real devotion, then we need to learn these works of Shankara and others. So Shankara at the end of Saundarya Lahari, he says, Pradeepa Jwala Bir Divasakarani Rajanavidim Pradeepa Jwala Bihi Divasakarani Rajanavidim. So Pradeepa Jwala Bihi, with many lamps, luminous lamps, with many lamps, divasakara neerajana vidhi, like offering light to sun. So Shankara is telling, using many lamps, I am showing the way to sun. So I am showing sun the way, or like how he should go. I am providing light for the luminous sun. Sudhasute. So next Shankara says, like showing a lamp to sun, and Sudhasute Chandropa. So he says that the Chandrakanta Kal, the stone Chandrakantam, it's called Chandrakantam, that is a stone like which is nourished by moon, offering that Chandrakanta jewel which has come from moon to moon. And Sudhas, taking water from the ocean and offering Abhishekam onto ocean. Similarly, O Devi, I have worshipped you. So my worship for you is similar to showing lamp to sun, offering Chandrakanta stone which has come out of moon to moon, taking water from ocean and offering it to ocean, like that. Tvadiya bir vaag bihi, tvadiya bihi vaag bihi, of your own vaag bihi, tavajanani vacham, not just your words, but you are the owner of words, you are the goddess of word. And so from such a goddess of words, with your own words, I have praised you. Stuti, stutihi iyam, stutiriyam, stutihi. This stuti I have wrote, praising you. I have used your own words to praise you. It's like showing lamp to sun. So Shankara, like the devotional aspect or the devotional peak of Shankara is coming out in all these shlokas. So in the last shloka, he says that after writing Bhashyas on the entire Upanishad, Brahma Sutra and all, Shankara is going to such a state of devotion. So whenever we say, we claim that we are devotees, or we say our parents are devotees, my brother is devotee, my father is a devotee, my husband is a devotee, we need to remember that, remember as to what is real devotion. We may say, oh, like my husband, my parents, they are interested in Lalita Sahasranama. They are interested in many works. They are interested in spirituality. The moment we say that, we need to understand as to what is spirituality. Spirituality is not something like going to office for 8 hours and working and then coming back. It's not something which is part-time. If a person is spiritual, then he is completely into it. A person who is partly spiritual cannot be called spiritual. So when we make all such claims, we need to understand as to what is the meaning of spirituality, what is devotion, what is knowledge. Without knowing that, if we make such false claims, then we will be the loser. So here Shankara therefore shows as to what is devotion, how like devotion will lead a person to the truth. So Bhagavatam speaks about the Navavidha Bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnoho, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So that Navavida Bhakti or nine types of Bhakti, Bhagavadam speaks and finally says that it all culminates in the ninth type of Bhakti, which is Atmanivedanam, offering oneself onto Ishvara. So that is what Shankara is speaking about here. So offering ourselves onto Ishvara, how we can do that? Once we completely surrender, completely offer ourselves unto Ishvara, then we will realize that we are the Ishvara. Then realization will dawn. That time we will be able to experience or rejoice in bliss. So in order for us to do that, we need to do Atmarpanam or Atmanivedanam, offering ourselves unto Ishvara, completely offering. It's part, we can say, I am a householder. I am a sannyasi. I have my own duties. I cannot go beyond them. If somebody says that, then we need to learn from the stories in Mahabharata. When Draupadi was in Draupadi was like Vastraharanam. When Dushasana, under the command of Duryodhana, he started removing the sari of Draupadi. Draupadi first hold, like she clasped her hand to one end of her sari, and with the other hand she called Krishna. Krishna didn't come. Only when she left both hands and called upon Krishna did Krishna come. So that means we cannot say, I have duties, I have to do this, I have to do that. If we say that I have to do this, I have to do that, and then say I'll take care of Ishvara only after all these are done, then Ishvara is not a person who can be cheated. Like we may be able to trick our manager, we may be able to trick our parents by telling that I have these things to do, so I cannot talk to you. We can say all those things, but we cannot try to cheat or trick Ishvara. Ishvara is an all-knowing person. He doesn't need anything. Whatever we are doing is for our benefit. If we want to realize ourselves, then we need to put our 100% into it. It's not something that 50% like I'll spend in this. I'll say that I'll join Vedanta course and I won't join. And then we may be able to trick ourselves. We may be able to trick Hariram. We may be able to trick Darshika Jitina. We may be able to trick Tejomiyananda or even Amma. But who is going to be the loser? We are going to be the loser, because as long as we don't know what is our priority, like we learned the last day, priority, we have to prioritize as to what we want. If spirituality is not our first priority, topmost priority, then we will not get it. It's not something which can be achieved by giving 50%. We may be able to get into IIM, we may be able to earn money, we may be able to roam around the world, we may even be able to get into politics or any other thing. But all those we may be able to do with our 50% or 60% or 70% effort, even 30% effort. With 30% effort, we may be able to be successful. But with respect to spirituality, unless we put our 100%, we will not be successful. So if we have to put 100%, then we need to know that we have to completely surrender. That complete and total surrender, unconditional surrender is essential. Unless that is there, we will not be successful in life. So we will learn Saundarya Lahari, we will learn all the Vedantic works, and then finally we will curse Amma. We will say, oh, Amma and Hariram, he taught me, but what is the point of learning all those things? I am not having bliss. So at that point of time, nobody is to be blamed other than ourselves, because we need to know that we have to prioritize, we have to put our 100% into spirituality. It's not something that can be done part-time like worldly activities. If we want to be spiritual, we have to put our 100%. Else we can claim ourselves to be spiritual, but we will not attain the goal of moksha. Life will go on. The next birth will come. Even in the next birth, the same thing will come. So once, there's a beautiful story mentioned by Purnamrathananda Puri, one of Amma's senior disciple, sannyasi disciple. So once when Buddha was there, a person joined the Buddhist ashram to become a Buddhist monk. So he joined there. The first day was passing by, but there were a lot of mosquitoes Therefore, he couldn't sleep. The second day came. Even the second day, there were a lot of mosquitoes. He couldn't sleep. 1 week passed by, but this guy couldn't sleep at all. Then finally, he gave up and decided, tomorrow I'll quit. I can't stay here anymore because I cannot bear with the mosquitoes. At that time, Buddha was doing his rounds, regular rounds. He came to this person and then he asked him, are you fine? Is there any problem? Then the person said, I came here to join as a Buddhist monk, but I don't think I can continue because of the mosquitoes. Then Buddha laughed at what he said, and Buddha showed the person his previous births. So it seems in many of his previous births, he wanted to join a ashram in the same way. So he would go to the ashram and commit the same mistake. There will be mosquitoes, he will not be able to sleep. Therefore, he will renounce. He will get away from the ashram. So he'll go to the ashram, mosquitoes will trouble him. He'll not be able to progress. Therefore, he'll come back. So Buddha said, like, this has been continuing for births. It's now like upon you to make it a point as to what you want in life. If you want to progress in spirituality, then you have to renounce things. You have to go beyond all those things. So the story is like, we cannot say that, oh, Amma has said that spirituality is like, spiritual sadhana is like a fixed deposit. Once I do that, I'll not forget. So I'll learn some Vedanta, then I'll come back to it later. Next birth, when I when I am born again, I'll have better option. If we think that, then like, there is no greater fool than us, because it will be the same case with as the Buddhist monk. We'll be setting aside the spiritual path for the worldly path, and for worldly desires, they never end. So it will go on and on. So if you talk to your parents, they'll say, oh, don't join Vedanta course. Why? Vedanta is for people who are old. It's not to be learned now. There is a time for Vedanta. When you grow old, you can learn. If we see our parents, our grandparents, they'll be still having a lot of desires. Ask them about Vedanta, they'll say, oh, Vedanta and all, at this age I cannot learn. So when you are young, this is not the time. When you are old, I cannot do it. So that's the state where we'll be led to. And when we become old, like, we'll say, oh, I've started learning from Paramartha. I've been going for Paramartha discourse for 8 years, 10 years. But what's the point? What have you gained? I haven't gained anything. Why? Because it's already late. After 70 or 60 or 50 years of vasanas, we cannot get out of it. So a person who says, after 60 years, I'll join Vedanta course, I'll learn Vedanta, such a person will never progress at all. Because at that time, we will go for Vedanta course, we'll go for Vedanta course and then come home and instruct our grandchildren that, oh, Vedanta is all fine, but duty is duty. Like, we'll be learning from Paramartha and then still claiming, oh, Vedanta is fine, but duty is first. You should have duty. You can learn Shankara's work, but not go like Shankara. So that means, like, you can just learn. Learning is just like a passion. So we will go to Paramartha's discourse. We will daily discuss Saundarya Lahari. What is the benefit of it? Oh, just that, I think, like, I'll get bliss out of the 30 minutes of discussion. That's where it will end. And there will be a time when, like, we will not be able to have all these discussions, because each and everything in the world has, like, its own limitations. Everything has its own limitations. We cannot cling on to anything. The only thing that is eternal, the only thing that will protect us and be with us at all points of time, is Ishvara alone. Our devotion towards Ishvara alone will protect us at any point of time. We cannot say, oh, Amma will protect me, Hari Ram will protect me. If somebody says that and then gets away from leading a spiritual life by saying, okay, I'll be with this person, I'll learn from this person entire life, then that's not possible. Because even like Hari Ram, And Amma, that's also like an illusion. Unless we know that Amma stands for Ishvara, we'll not be protected always. Protection will not be there. And then after Amma's time, we'll have to cry. We'll have to cry like Shankara's followers are doing. We'll have to cry and then we'll be just becoming Shabdavadis. We'll be just proclaiming that we know Vedanta, we follow Vedanta, but differentiate. Balakrishna Menon, who he is a Menon, he is not realized. Balakrishna Nair, he's a Nair, don't learn from him. So all such wrong knowledge will come. Like if we don't get attached to the one thing that we should be attached to, and that one thing is Ishvara alone, nothing else will protect us, only that will protect us. And with respect to Ishvara, Ishvara is not, we cannot say, oh, Ishvara loves everyone. Why? Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyah. Oh Arjuna, samoham sarvabhuteshu, aham samaha sarvabhuteshu. All the beings, I see all the beings are one, as one. Name dveshyosti na priyah. I don't have dveshyam or priyam. Therefore, he is our father. He will love us. He will protect us. If we think, then we need to learn the various stories that Amma says. So there is a beautiful story that Amma mentions about Krishna. So we may think that Ishvara is not so possessive, like he is not, we can just try to evade him, we can just try to give him our 20% and then we can gain the benefit out of him, the benefit of moksha out of him, but it's not possible. So once Krishna, Balakrishna or the young Krishna, was hungry. At that time his mother Yashoda was feeding him. So Yashoda was feeding breast milk. Krishna was very young, so at that time she was feeding him and Krishna was very hungry, but Yashoda had kept milk on the stove. So there was like 1.5 or 2 glass of milk in the stove. It was almost time for it to get boiled. So though Krishna was very hungry, he didn't want to leave Yashoda, but Yashoda left him there in order to look after the milk. So turn off the stove. So she was able to turn off the stove, so the 1.5 or 2 glass of milk was in spill. But she left Krishna, who was very hungry. When she came back, she saw that the entire butter that was kept in the house was spilled because Krishna was so hungry that he destroyed everything. So go, what's the import of this story? Like Yashoda left Krishna, so Yashoda didn't give Krishna importance. She gave importance to the 2 glass of milk that was on the stove. We may say that 2 glass, it's just 2 seconds. It's just 2 minutes. I'll come back after shutting off the stove. We may say that. But that 2 minutes is enough for Ishvara. Like the moment we turn ourselves away from Ishvara, everything that we have gained will be lost. So our spiritual path itself will be lost. We'll go far away from spirituality that we'll have to struggle to come back again. And when we come back again, then Ishvara will also say, he is also possessive, he is also a logical person. He will say, why did you leave me? If you can leave me, then I can also leave you. So that's what happened there. In order to protect the 2 glass of milk, Yashoda lost all the butter in the house. So the loss that we will have to face if we renounce spirituality, if we set aside spirituality or say 20% I'll give, 40% I'll give and all, if we say that, then we will have to face the consequences, and whatever we'll have to suffer will be much more than what we normally would, because it's like telling, like you wake up a person and say sleep. So if you call a person home and say like come home for lunch, and then when he comes he say I don't have anything in house, then if you normally call a person and say I don't have anything to give you, it is fine. But when you set expectations for somebody and then you don't meet the expectation, then it becomes more problem. So if we start in the spiritual path and still don't give importance to spirituality, then we'll be the loser. And we shouldn't be doing that. That's why Shankara has explained this. The aspect of devotion, the aspect of complete surrender, the aspect of giving our 100% to Ishvara, to Devi, to Tripura Sundari, to Amma, in a very beautiful way he explains it. This shloka is set in the raga called Varali. The shloka goes like this. Japo jalpah shilpam sakalamapi mudra virachana gati pradakshinya kramanamashana ahuti vidhi pranama samvishah sukamakilam atmarpana drisha saparya paryaya tava bhavatu yanme vilasitam. So Shankara says, O Devi, Atma Arpana Drisha. Atma Arpana Drisha. So I, O Devi, I'll have the vision of Atma Arpanam. Drisha, Drisha means vision. Atma Arpanam. So I'll follow Atma Arpanam. I will perform the activity of Atma Arpanam. How can you do that? Japo Jalpaha. Jalpaha, japaha, jalpaha. Jalpam means like vamba pechi, that is what is in Tamil. Jalpam means like chit chatter is called japam. Jalpaha. So jalpam, like futile talks, whatever I talk, futile talks, japaha. That is your japam. O Devi, what is Atmarpana Drisha? What is the vision of Atmarpanam? A person who has done Atmarpanam, how will his vision be? Jalpaha japaha. Futile talks will be your japam. So that means like futile talks, Shankara could have said, just talks, like Amma says, like let all my words be your japam. But Shankara is going to the extreme. So if all words are yours, then what about bad words? What about useless words? So here Shankara says, useless words, futile words, like they are your japam. That means whatever I am speaking, I'll remember internally, I'll offer it to you. That is your japam. So how can words be your japam? Either speak about Devi or internally convert it. Internally, when you are speaking, internally say, oh Devi, I am offering you this. So it's not external that is important, internal is important. There may be people who will be chanting Ladra Sahasranama 5 times a day. There are people who can chant Rudram Chamakam without any error. But what is the point of such chanting? Finally, they will say, okay, I am out of touch with Rudram Chamakam. I don't know what that does, but it gives a pleasure. I can chant it very well. And while chanting, what will happen? Oh, you are chanting wrong. It went wrong. That's not the right way to chant. It is this way. It is Gananam Tva. It's not Gananam Tva. Gananam Tva, and all such like distinction, all such arguments, and then finally Rudram Chamakam or chanting itself will lead to trouble. So that's why Shankara says here, it's our internal attitude. When we offer ourselves to Ishvara, then that means whenever we are speaking, we are offering that to Ishvara. When we are offering to Ishvara, that our words become japaha. And shilpam sakalam api, sakalam shilpam api. Shilpam means like movements or postures. Sakalam shilpam api. All our postures, all our like movements or like the things we show with our hand, all those are mudra virachana. Mudra virachana. They are various mudras. They are mudras for you. Mudras have their own significance. Each and every mudra denotes something. Each and every mudra is a remembrance of Devi. Each and every mudra has a sense of like offering it to Devi. So all my postures are mudras for you. How is it mudras for you? Because I have offered myself. Because of Atmarpanam internally, everything is your mudra. Then what about walking? Gatihi. Gatihi. Gatihi means walking. Pradakshinya kramanaha. Kramanam, sorry. Kramanam. So pradakshinya kramanam. They are your pradakshina. So I'm not doing any pradakshina. I'm not going to Devi temple. I'm not going to Mukambika. I'm not going to Madurai Meenakshi temple and then doing pradakshina. But O Devi, internally, wherever I am offering everything to you. That means wherever I am walking, O Devi, I'll remember internally that this is your pradakshina. I'm just walking inside my house. I am walking from the place I sleep to the kitchen. When I am walking internally, I'll remember you, I'll offer it to you, then that becomes pradakshinyam or pradakshina, it becomes pradakshina. Ashanadi, ashanadi means eating, ashanam means eating. So eating another thing, ahuti vidhi. So ahuti vidhi, ahuti means offering it to Homagunda. So whatever I am in partaking, it is all offering to Homakunda, Homakunda which is there for praising you. That means internally whenever I am eating, I will remember that I am offering it to the Homakunda, I am offering it to you. And samveshaha, samveshaha, samveshaha means lying down. So when I am lying down, that is pranamaha. It's your pranamam. So whenever I am lying down, I'll remember that, O Devi, I am offering it to you. That means it becomes pranamam. So all this happen when we have the internal attitude. Whenever we are offering everything onto Ishvara, when the attitude of Atma Arpanam is there, then Jalpaha becomes Japaha. So then what happens? Like Sukham. Sukham means in a very easy way. May yet vilasitam. So sukam. Easily may yet vilasitam. May means my. Yet vilasitam. Whatever activity is there. Vilasitam means activity. So yet may vilasitam. Whatever my activity is there. Sukam. Akhilam. All those are tava. Your saparya pariyayaha. They are puja for you. Bhavatu, let them become. O Devi, when I have the vision of Atmarpanam, yadme vilasitam, whatever I have, yad yad karma karomi tattadakilam shambho tava aradhanam. Whatever activity I do, it is your aradhana. So whatever activity I am doing, irrespective of the activity, I am offering it to you. So with the attitude of offering, with Atmarpanam, everything becomes your puja. That means there is nothing bad, there is nothing good, because everything is puja of Devi. And with this puja, we will get over all the sufferings in the world. We will get over all troubles in the world, all sorrows. Why? Because everything is due to Bhedam, to duality or the vision of difference. But when we are offering everything onto Devi, we are seeing everything as an offering to Devi, that Devi who alone is present here, then how can we have any attachment to the action? How can we have differences? We can't have any differences because we ourselves have offered. So this is what Krishna says, that Brahma Arpanam Brahma Havihi Brahma Agno Brahmana Utam Brahma Ivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. Many of us know the shloka, but rarely does a person know the meaning of the shloka. So Brahma Arpanam Brahma Havihi. So here, there Krishna speaks about all activities in the world as a yajna. That as a yajna, where Brahman is the Arpanam, everything is Brahman. Homakundam is Brahman, Agni is Brahman. Who is doing it? That is also Brahman. And what is to be achieved from it? That is also Brahman. And it's the same thing that Krishna says in the 9th chapter, yat karoshi dashna si yat juhosi dadasi yat karoshi, whatever actions you do, yat karoshi yat juhosi dadasi yat karoshi yat ashnasi, whatever you eat, yat juhosi, whatever you are offering, dadasi yat, whatever you are giving to people. So offering to Homakunda and giving to others, service and other things. तपस्यसि कौन्तेय वत तपस्यु डू ओ कौन्तेय तत्कुरुष्व मदर्पणम तत्कुरुष्व डू दैट हाउ मदर्पणम एज ऑफरिंग टू मी दैट्स द सेम थिंग दैट कृष्णा सेड एट द एंड दैट्स व्हाई बालकृष्ण एंड अदर्स से दैट लाइक इफ अर्जुना वाज ए पर्सन हु हैड द फेथ ही वाज इफ ही वाज ही हैड कंप्लीट सरेंडर इफ ही हैड कंप्लीट फेथ देन ही वुड हैव रियलाइज्ड व्हेन कृष्णा ended the second chapter itself because it's the same thing that Krishna again and again says and then says sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja renounce everything how to renounce everything by knowing that everything is Ishvara by offering it to Ishvara and attain me offer everything onto me but Arjuna was like most of us like having using our intellect using our logical brain the thing that okay if I stay here I can learn I can enjoy the world as well therefore I will not join Vedanta course if I am here still I have like alternative means there is Amma is there always and then Hariram is there to teach me therefore I don't need to join Vedanta course so that's the way we think so that is intellect working we use our intellect like Arjuna thereby like How many more times we tell, still we'll forget it. We'll not have value for it because we don't have Atmarpanam. The moment Atmarpanam is there, that very moment, when Atmarpanam becomes perfect, that very moment we'll be able to rejoice in bliss. So this is not a egoistic or like a far-fetched statement. And it's not my statement as well. Any person can experience this. The moment we offer everything onto Amma, we say, Amma, I am offering everything to you. I don't have anything now. If we are able to do it even for 1 second, that 1 second we will be able to rejoice in bliss. So that is the concept of Arpanam. That is the concept of offering or complete surrender. And that is real devotion. So real devotion is that Amrita Swarupacha. So Narada says, Amritam, that will give us Amritam. That will give us Anandam, that will give us Amritam. That is what is real devotion. So the next time whenever we are comparing or we are making statements like my father is spiritual, my husband is spiritual, my wife is spiritual, my parents are spiritual, we need to think about this shloka. We need to think as to what is real devotion, what is real Arpanam. And then we have to make all those statements. Just because we learn Vedanta, just because somebody doesn't object spirituality, just because somebody is going to Paramartha, that doesn't make him spiritual. If that would make a person spiritual, then the hundreds of elderly people who go to Paramartha, all of them will become Jivan Muktas. That's not what we are seeing. That's not happening. That will not happen as well. Because there is no Arpanam. So we have to, after learning all this work, the very first thing we should do is we should stop making wrong statements. Whenever we are about to make a statement, we should try to analyze. We should try to find out whether it is true, whether what we are speaking is really true. Oh, I have offered everything to Amma. I have offered everything to Tejomaya Ananda. I don't know. He will take care. If we say that, then we need to know that there is only one thing that Amma can expect out of us. There is only one thing that Amma will ask us. That is moksha. So working towards moksha. So that itself means if we are not working towards moksha, if we are in the spiritual path as a part-time, like a part-time job, doing a part-time job, that itself means that we haven't surrendered because Amma cannot ask anything else. So the next time we make any such statements, any such claims, we need to understand, we need to analyze and compare it with what Shankara says. If we take the life history of like Amma's devotees or the various disciples, the sannyasi disciples of Amma, then we will understand as to what surrender is. They surrendered everything to Amma. There would be no word against Amma. They will not stay away from Amma. Like when Amrita Swarupa Ananda had complete surrender to Amma, he left his job, double MA and all those things, he left. And then he joined Amma. But still when Amma said, go to US, go and work, earn some money for the mission, he said, Amma, I have offered myself completely to you. But that doesn't mean that you can distract me. I have only you and I'll not leave you. So that is the will, that is the determination, and that's what they did for the truth. And that's why they are in such a state of bliss with Amma. If we want such a state, if we want to find out whether we are real devotees, then we need to learn all those stories and compare with all those things as to whether we are real devotees or not. Like the we discussed the story of Kannapan, but how many of us would be willing to do that? Rarely any. Like when Amma comes near to our house, we'll say, oh, my parents will not agree, and we won't go. So that's the kind of determination, or that's the kind of devotion that we have. And when we compare it with what, like Shankara explains here, what various disciples of Amma, what various devotees of Ishvara have done, then we'll be able to know where we lack. The first step to spirituality is knowing, identifying our weakness, and the second step is working towards improving it. Like in any other field, spirituality also, we will have our own weaknesses. We will have to boldly face them rather than running away from it. We'll have to boldly face that, okay, I am doing so and so mistake, I'll have to overcome it. If we are bold enough to do that, if we are bold enough to first think that I have these weaknesses, I have to overcome it, and then we are ready to work towards it, then automatically we'll reach such a state. And when we have Atmarpanam, even if it is for 1 second or for 1 minute or like even a fraction of a second, we will be able to get bliss. And how or why will we able to get bliss? Because Atma Arpanam means we offer ourselves to Ishvara. That means we become Ishvara. When we become Ishvara, what will we gain? Ishvara's nature is Anandam, Satchidanandam. So Ishvara's nature is Anandam. So once we offer ourselves to Ishvara, then we will have only Anandam. Let us all work towards it. We'll continue with the next shloka in the next day. Hari Om.